O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we started a series on 1 John, on the first epistle of John. And we looked at who John was and some things around John's life. And at the end we talked about that John was saying at the beginning of his letter, and I was saying at 9 o'clock, the beginning of John's letter and the beginning of John's gospel often feels very much the same. If you notice that, it's the same sort of character to it. But in John's letter, he's saying, basically, we were there, we saw it, you can trust us, it's all true. And so everything that's coming on after that is coming out of that fact. We were with Jesus, we touched him, we saw him, we saw the resurrection, we know that it's all true, so you can trust what I've got to say. Then he goes on in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now in Scripture, God is frequently spoken of as light. And John is making this point. Indeed, Jesus said it and is quoted by John in John 8. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus makes the contrast between who we are and who God is. God is light, and if we don't follow him, we are in darkness. So what does that mean? God knows all. He's truth. He's reality. On the other hand, before we knew God, we're in darkness, easily deceived. God is light, holy and righteous and without shadow, and his light penetrates all darkness. Do you know Jesus in this way? Sis died. Oh well. Should this be still going? Oh, that's dying too. All right, we'll carry on. For 2 minutes. Now John's letter was a circular letter, a general letter, and went to different Christian groups. At that time, some people were teaching things that went against what Jesus taught, and these could be summarized as three lies about who Jesus was and what Jesus is. And John wants to confront these lies in his letter. The first lie is that if I follow Jesus, I can keep on willfully sinning and it'll be okay. John wrote, if we say we have fellowship with Jesus, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That we're teaching that I can hide my sin from Jesus. Yeah, right. I follow him and I accept the fact that he's light, he's perfectly sinless, he exposes sin. But I have this private, hidden, concealed life over here that he can't see and his light can't expose it. Now this is an easy lie to convince ourselves of, but it's misguided to think that I can hide stuff in my life that Jesus can't see. Seriously, we need to understand the power of the light of Jesus. Our hidden places don't shut out the light of Jesus. Instead, the light of Jesus shines into every area of our life. Why? Because Jesus wants to expose all that separates us from him, others, ourselves, and creation. Not to condemn us, but to free us. But the problem is that some of the stuff that we want to hide, we're either loaded by shame and guilt in respect to it, or that we feel so awkward about it, we'd actually rather keep it hidden and out of the way, and expecting that that's true of God as well. Not recognizing that if we'd actually would bring it out, be honest about it, get God to deal with it, it's then free and over with. You know, it's a bit like going to the dentist. You know how we really, really like going to the dentist? If you do. Hands up anybody who really, really likes the dentist bill afterwards. Now, we would just kind of avoid that, wouldn't we? We would do anything but go there. Until it gets so serious that we really have the rest of the family on our backs. Ever been there? Not quite. But when we do that with all that we want to hide from God. When he wants to deal with it, eradicate it, Jesus wants to expose all that separates us from him and others and ourselves and creation, not to condemn us, but to free us. All the shame and guilt we want to hide away, Jesus knows about and wants to free us of. This is good news. John goes on to say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We don't have to be practicing sinners. All we need to do is walk in the light and to be transparent and open before God and each other and deal with our stuff honestly and truthfully. Jesus' perfect work on our behalf on the cross is sufficient enough to forgive us and to cleanse us and to change us. And if we walk in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. This is really good news for our relationships. Do you believe that? Does your life demonstrate that truth? Now here's the second lie. It says, I'm a follower of Jesus, therefore I'm perfectly sinless. But John points out, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's a big statement. The idea of having no sin goes beyond saying, I don't do wrong things. It's saying, sin is entirely eradicated from my life. Yes, the Bible teaches us what it means to be a new person in Jesus and makes it very clear that when we choose Jesus, we're not improved, but made entirely new. We have a new identity that the Father gives us. That identity is in Jesus. And the power of sin that controls us so much is destroyed. Sin no longer has power over us like it used to. This means we don't have to be slaves to sin, shame and guilt anymore. Yet the Bible makes it very clear that the presence of sin is still in us and the potential to sin is with us until we die or Jesus returns. To say I have no sin is a lie and it's deceptive and it's ultimately dangerous because we can drop our guard and we can be deceived into thinking we're something we're not. And we can step away from being vigilant in our fight for all that is right and true. So what do we do about this sin, this shame, this guilt then? John wrote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. All that stuff you want to hide on because you're so ashamed about, knowing that that could be just freed and removed, dealt with. I mean, that's got to be the best deal of the century, or the millennium, or of all of life. If we're honest about all that separates us from God, guess what? Jesus deals with it in freeing and forgiving ways. He's faithful. Jesus made a promise to us that if we will trust him, he will see us through until one day we will be exactly like him. This means we don't owe him anything. We don't have to pay the debt for our sin because it's been already paid in full. We don't do penance. I don't have to do 10 things right to make up for the one things I do wrong. In fact, I'd be so busy that I don't think I'd have time for anything else if that was the case, because I'd be always trying to appease my conscience. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and he's forgiving. Not only does he forgive us and say, you don't owe me anything, I've taken care of it. He goes a step further. He cleans us up and cleans us off so that it doesn't stick to us like grimy scum. Then he sees us as robed in his perfect obedience, his righteousness and his light and his holiness. That's good news. That's real good news. So if we confess our sins, we're saying the same thing about our sin that God does. We're saying, God, you're right. I agree with you. Search my heart. You call it what it is, and I will absolutely agree with the conclusion. That's what confession is. It's saying the same thing about all that separates us from God, ourselves and others, as God does. Now the third line. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us, or his truth is not in us. This is more than self-deception. It's calling Jesus a liar. It's defiantly shaking our fists in the face of God and saying, Jesus didn't need to die for my sin because I have no sin. I don't need Jesus to be the light because my light is perfectly fine, thank you. This is exactly what those who don't know God are saying. They're calling God a liar. If Jesus is nothing other than a good teacher and a guy who went to the cross to give us a good example of how much we should love others by being willing to die for them, we've missed the whole point. Now, I love the way that John presents Jesus with two contrasting pictures. Please understand, we don't balance God. Rather, we experience the fullness of God by bringing our understanding into line with what God has said about himself. The two statements John is going to make about God in his letter are, God is light, he's perfectly sinless, and he exposes sin. But later in John 4:8, there is a profound statement that I'm sure we know all very well. God is love. Now, we can have a difficult time fully understanding God. I'm still trying to work him out. There's a whole lot to God. God is holy, God is just, and God is love. And there is a tension here. We run a risk if we want to look at God in only one way. If we believe only that God is light, we can risk perfectionism. If we only believe that God is light, that he's holy and he exposes sin, and everything stops there, then you'd better live a perfect life, because from your perspective, a relationship with God is all about duty and law. What I've got to do to be acceptable. Secondly, we can go wrong believing that God is love and that is all. This can lead to permissivism. Such a view says that because God is love, he will forgive everything. Such a view says there are no consequences and I'll get away with anything I want because in the end God is love and he'll take care of it. If we believe this, we will get into trouble. In his gospel in John 1:14, it says that Jesus was full of grace, that is love, and truth, that is light. And there's the balance, grace and truth, love and light. God is light, and he's love. God is holy, and he wants to expose the darkness in our life. What did I say before? Not so that he can condemn us, not so that he can shame us, but because he loves us and wants to free us. So that he can forgive us and free us and shape us into the image of Jesus. So that like John, we become a friend of Jesus and live a life of courageous love. Lord God, we thank you that you are light and that you are love. And that your light exposes in us anything that separates us from you, one another, from ourselves, from creation. We thank you that your heart's desire in exposing it is so that we can become free of it and know the forgiveness that out of your love you want to extend to us, that we would receive it. So Lord, seal that in our hearts, that yes, we would live as the forgiven and as the forgiving. That our life would continue to be a transformation. And that we would mark the character of Jesus in our lives. And that others would see him and come seeking him. In Jesus' name. Amen.